Right, first of all, there's cards outside E066HNK.
Yeah.
It's all the windows are open.
Okay. It's nice to know that the top body is not. We take a look at that. Thank you, Dave. If I may say to the councillors, I've been so busy today, I've got to wipe the windows down.
Okay. Item 1, the approval of the minutes of the meeting of the council held on the 13th September 2022, as published on the council's website. Is there a second? Okay. All in favour?
Aye.
Item 2, apologies for absence.
Mr. Mayor, apologies from Councillors BC, Gordon, Green and HR.
Mr. Mayor, Councillor Nick Holmes.
Declarations of interest? No? Right, item 4. I'm sure the all members of the council will join me in expressing the deepest sympathy to Councillor Cross on the loss of Lily. And I'd like to thank members who attended the remembrance event on the 13th of November. It was an absolutely fantastic event and so well supported. And thank to those members who attended the at the Stafford Town Centre Christmas lights switch on Saturday. I'm sure you will agree that the display of lights are really tremendous. Fine, public question time.
No, Mr. Mayor.
Council session?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Right, so notice of motion. And proposed by Councillor Cook and seconded by Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, to begin with, may I make a somewhat unusual request, and that is to add an amendment to my motion. It is somewhat unusual. I have passed the paper over to the head of legal. It's certainly my fault. I omitted to add a couple of points to the motion. So I rectified that. I passed the amendment over to Councillor Farrington as well. I think I passed it to the person who will be responding. Very simply, it means that in the final section of the motion, where we resolve to do various things, the old 7 becomes the new 9, and we insert a new 7 and 8. And the new 7 is to promote a fair tax mark certification, especially for any business in which we have a significant stake and where corporation tax is due. Not terribly relevant to us, but there could be odd occasion. And number 8, support Fair Tax Week events in the area and celebrate the tax contribution made by responsible businesses who are proud to promote responsible tax conduct and pay their fair share of corporation tax. Mr. Mayor, I would say this motion was actually sent to me by a local member of my ward, and I investigated it further, and I felt that it did warrant bringing before the council. This motion is actually produced by the Fair Tax Foundation. It's a non-party political organisation, and it aims to encourage councils to encourage responsible tax practices through various things. First of all, leading by example, on their own tax conduct, and I'm sure we could do that. I'm sure that is not a problem for us at all. Number two, wanting to know who owns and profits from the businesses the council buys from, but whether it's in the UK or overseas, and their full financial reports. And the third one is joining the calls for UK public procurement rules to change so that councils actually can do more to look at any possible tax avoidance and award points to suppliers that actually do or are responsible taxpayers in this country or abroad. Now, that is nothing to do with party politics, and this is not, and you may be surprised by that, but this is not a party political motion, because an awful lot of councils around the country have already passed this motion with cross-party support. For example, Peterborough, Northumberland, Gateshead, Dundee, Preston, Richmond upon Thames, Sunderland, Trafford, and indeed our own neighbour, Cannock Chase District Council. They have passed this motion as well. Mr. Mayor, policy, or polling I should think, has shown that the UK public is in favour of councils taking action. This appetite is the same whether you're voting Labour or Lib Dem or Conservative. It comes to about the same percentage, and you can find that information on the website, the Fair Tax Foundation website. The information is there. Certainly, the Institute of Business Ethics has found that corporate tax avoidance has, since 2013, been the clear number one concern of the British public when it comes to business conduct. And you'll notice in full council notes that there are all sorts of numbers here, numbers 3, 4, 5, 6. You see the problems that we are having with the fact that people, corporations, are not declaring their tax fully. It's not tax avoidance necessarily, it's tax evasion. And there's an awful lot of money being lost in the country because of that. It's assumed 17.5% of public contracts in the UK have been won by companies with links to tax havens. Also being conservatively estimated, that's with a small c, conservatively estimated that losses from multinational profit shifting firms could be costing the UK some £17 billion per annum, as in lost corporation tax revenues. And particularly at this time, when we could do with all the money, and the government could do with all the money it could get, that £17 billion would be received with open arms, I should think. It would help to fill quite a hole in the existing central government budget. So there are lots of reasons for asking for our suppliers to show us that they are in fact acting responsibly, paying their fair share of tax, not involved in tax havens or any other schemes to try and avoid paying corporation tax. And let us not forget that tax sometimes represented as a burden, but it actually brings benefits. Without taxation, where would all our services be? Where would our leisure centres be? Where would our National Health Service be, or education, or defence, and the myriad number of other services which are provided by national government and local government? If they were taken away because the tax went to bust, we would be in dire straits. So taxes are actually beneficial, and I'm very sorry that some people feel that they shouldn't be paying their fair share of taxes. I'm sure that wouldn't apply to any of us here, or indeed, to our suppliers. But I think we ought to be sure of that. So I hope, Mr. Mayor, that on a party, a non-party political level, we can vote for this. Certainly the leader of the Fair Tax Foundation has said that they are very happy to work with officers, because I know officers can say, well, there can be problems with some of this or some of that. We know that IR35 is still in a bit of a mess, so that's not quite right yet. There may even be stuff going on in terms of procurement and government plans for procurement. So we know we've got to wait for a few of these jigsaw things to come in as well. But they are very happy to talk to officers and to talk to them about, even if there are some amendments to the motion, whether there are enough things there to show that we are really serious about trying to deal with tax avoidance, tax evasion particularly, then they would be happy to take us on as one of the councils and declare ourselves to be wanting to do this, and then they will work with us. So I hope, Mr. Mayor, you know, I can count on cross-party support, because that's what we really need for this. It's not party political. Let's have a cross-party view of these things. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Second that, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Hood would like to speak.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Could I just take this opportunity to thank everybody for their kind wishes during the last year for my ill health, and particularly thank those individuals who sent me personal cards. Thank you very much indeed. Your kind words are much appreciated. Mr. Mayor, on this motion, I thought it was rather an odd motion, actually, but none of my constituents have been banging on my door in horror that the Borough Council is involved in tax avoidance or anything to do with the tax. So I did my own research. And although Councillor Cook says it's independent, it actually started with the Cooperative Party. And as a result, there is now a Fair Tax organisation, and Mary Patel is the network's manager for the Fair Tax Mark. Apparently 24 councils have now signed it, Oxford, where else, being the first. Cannock was the fourth, but they did modify. Apparently 15,000 councils have been emailed about this motion. I don't recall getting the email myself, but perhaps I did. Interestingly, they don't write to the people in the council who make the decisions regarding the general day-to-day purchasing. Such as the leader, the chief executive, or Ian Curran, the legal officer, or Tim Lewis, the 151 officer. None of those have been approached. Now, I have no issue with the point that people should pay all tax they owe, and they should not seek devious means to avoid it. But they say paying tax should not be a burden. Well, it's certainly not a pleasure. However, you would think that Mary Patel and her team would sort out their own backyard first. I read that the Guardian newspaper, which on the surface appears a virtuous and high-minded organisation, but underneath there is a good portion of dirty washing, which is not keen to share with the rest of the world. And an obvious example is that the Guardian Media Group use an offshore tax shelter in the Cayman Islands to avoid paying tax on £302 million it made in profit from the sale of shares in auto trading. And I put money on it that Mr. Patel needs the Guardian. So what do we do now at Stafford Borough? I have this from the heads of service, the various areas which deal with these issues. Stafford Borough Council is satisfied that it already demonstrates good practice in its own tax conduct across its own activities. Stafford Borough Council already implements IR35 when engaging any relevant contract workers. Stafford Borough Council doesn't use any offshore vehicles for the purchase of land or property. Stafford Borough Council procurement evaluations already include mandatory grounds to reject tenders if they've committed any tax offences. Mr. Mayor, members of it have actually sat on the board of meetings when we have been discussing major procurements. for example, the Geological Centre in Stone, and they don't perform well. That procurement has been undertaken for this council by Staffordshire County Council. Quite simply, members opposite are knocking on the wrong door. My advice, Mr. Mayor, is when an email arrives on your council computer and there's a warning that beware, this email comes from outside your organisation, address the delivery. This motion, Mr. Mayor, is unnecessary, serves no purpose, and should be voted down. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to support my colleague and the motion. I think it's telling that the long list of councils that have already adopted this, there must be merit in it. And certainly, if we're going to be talking about shared services in the not too distant future, our shared service partner at Canada Chase District Council have already adopted this, so should we. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor
Farrington. Mr. Mayor, as I was pained to point out in the cabinet meeting earlier, what Staffordshire Council and its members decide to do, and what Canada Chase District Council and its members decide to do, are mutually exclusive matters, and we are not in each other's pocket.
Anybody else?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I mean, welcome back, Councillor Smith, but I'm amazed that you made that comment about ignoring this. I know full well that organisations do offload their tax. They do create a shadow company, and they do a lot. All sorts of companies do it. And for us to sit here and say we disagree with a number of other councils, for example, Canada Chase, we disagree with them. They've accepted it, and I can't understand why you're sticking your head in the sand and saying don't do it. Because in actual fact, I do think that there are too many businesses, there are too many people who avoid paying the tax. Now, I've been looking, I've been taxed for the past 70 odd years and more, and never been able to get away with anything. So I do feel, well, when you're in the service, you don't have any dealings with anything like that. You just hold your hand out and take the money that's given to you. And I think the point is that we are really showing our ignorance by not supporting this.
Councillor Pearce.
Thank you. I think I'm surprised at the response from the MP's opposite. I'm disappointed. The time when working people are being asked to pay a greater share of what they earn in taxes. I think the issue of companies and organisations that avoid paying tax must be one which focuses people's minds greatly. And this motion, I can't see what people can possibly object to it to in any way. In fact, nothing has been pointed out in it which is objectionable. So why is the party opposite not supporting this motion? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'm not in the least bit surprised at the reaction of members opposite. After all, they are of the same political family sitting in central government who refuse to close the loopholes for offshore accounts and tax havens, so that they can carry on cutting services, claiming there's not enough money because of immigration and benefit sheets rather than sponges at the top. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anybody else? No? Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, there are one or two points that have come up. First of all, why didn't this organisation email or contact officers rather than councillors? The answer to that, I think, is fairly obvious. It is councillors who are more likely to be the ones who can bring these things in a motion to council. That's why they're more likely to contact councillors. An awful lot of organisations contact councillors because they want them to do something. I felt that this was good enough to actually bring forward to this council for a decision. As far as the Guardian is concerned, I've not heard of this, but if the Guardian is acting in that way, then it's reprehensible.
Absolutely.
And action should be taken. And that goes for any firm that is deliberately not paying their taxes. There's no question about that. And may I say, in relation to that, the officers say that Stafford Borough Council has no problems about paying its taxes in full. I understand that. Indeed, I made that point in my initial remarks. I said that I'm sure we have no problems about that in Stafford Borough Council, because I trust our officers to actually operate in a responsible manner. And I would hope we all do. So, I already covered that, and that's not going to be a problem for us. There are other things we could be looking at instead. So I do hope, again, I will ask that the council do support this motion so that we can actually join this organisation and actually celebrate also, because we do have a part of the amendment, that we celebrate those firms that actually do pay their full amount of tax and do that on a regular basis. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, those in favour? Those against. Yes, the motion is lost.
That's shame, man.
Moving on to motion by Councillor Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The motion is self-explanatory. The issue of energy and heating is one which is not the most in many people's minds at the present time. We have a perfect storm with the rising costs, both of essentials like food and so on. We're facing increases in tax rates and, of course, the energy crisis is affecting everyone. And so in that situation, I think it behoves us to do what we can. And I'm aware that the Borough Council already is taking measures, the Warmer Homes support, and the measures that are being looked at the moment to help people insulate their homes better. But this is a crisis that needs addressing, and I don't think the government is funding that sufficiently. And that's one of the main points that this motion puts forward, a call for additional help. And you may say, well, you know, there's no money left in central government, the funding just isn't there. Well, of course, we've got projects like HS2, which are still going ahead, costing billions of pounds for very little gain in the future. Some describe it as a vanity project, and I'm afraid I have to agree with that. That could have been cancelled, and that money could be much better used to help particularly poor people insulate their homes better and use less energy. So the particular point that I draw attention to here is this fully funded nationwide action plan to insulate all homes and businesses as quickly as possible to improve energy efficiency and save bills. That's, I think, what the vast majority of people want to see and what they would like to see this government do and this council asking the government to do it. Thank you.
When I first looked at this motion, I was just a bit worried it's slightly ignored. It just looked like there was a green economic recovery plan. But this issue of fuel poverty and building sustainable eco homes for the future and the retrofit of current homes is far too important to belong to any party. So I would ask that you all support this motion and improve energy efficiency, help keep people warm and reduce their bills. Let's see some action. Thank you.
Councillor Price.
Yes, all right. Firstly, can I thank you for the Remembrance Sunday parade? You actually attended the Exeter Road Cemetery. There's 119 casualties of war buried. Came on and supported both Councillor Cross and myself. I just want to make a point when you talk about green energy, and warmer homes. I mean, Councillor Kettner should be telling you, along with Councillor Nixon, that the majority of the homes within Copeland, for instance, at the moment, is going through that specific work that you're saying isn't being done. I don't know if you've noticed, but those buildings, houses have been and are being retrofitted with materials to make them much warmer. So when you bring a motion forward and talk about the things that aren't being done, I'm gobsmacked. You clearly haven't opened your eyes and seen what's going on around you. And as I said, Councillor Kemp and Councillor Nixon should be fully aware of what's going on in their own wards, as are others. And this work is actually being done. So for me, this motion seems particularly pointless. Thank you.
Councillor Bird.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, and thank you for having me on Saturday night. It was a very enjoyable evening. Thank you for the motion. As the cabinet member responsible for housing and health, and this very firmly fits within the housing and health area, I just wanted to respond with a number of points, and if you bear with me, I'd be grateful for this. I think everyone in this chamber would agree that anything that can be done to reduce energy use has to be advantageous. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend that people move to turning off their heating oil, because moving from hot areas in a home to cold rooms can increase the risk of things like respiratory problems and COPD and the likes. Equally, I'm sure everyone was shocked and saddened to see the death of a young boy in the north of the country through mould and damp issues. So I would heartily suggest not turning off heating and certainly being very careful in terms of not moving from one problem to a different one. However, the Borough Council has provided historically a huge amount of support in this arena. In terms of energy advice, last year we provided energy advice to 1,000 households. This is something we've done for many, many years, and bearing in mind there are 60,000 households in the borough, I think you get a very good understanding and a very good view in terms of the size and scope of work that is going on in terms of providing energy advice. Last year, we provided tariff switching and billing support to another 232 households. Last year, we helped to secure the right benefits for 15 households. Last year, we generated £24.6 million in warm homes discounts. Last year, the household support fund referrals for heating grants were worth nearly £150,000 in the borough. In passing, we also generated in excess of £50,000 of savings to our residents in water tariff savings. And we also registered for priority services sign-ups, another 205,000 households this year. So this is something that the Borough Council has a proud record on and has been doing for much of the last two decades. This isn't just something that is being proposed at this moment, it's something that the Council has been committed to for a long period of time. In addition, we've provided funding for a post in Citizens Advice to work specifically on housing support. And all our work is targeted at those people who need it most. Actually, most of these indicators have been reported to scrutiny on a regular basis as well. So members will be more than well aware of the extensive range of support given in this area. Actually, a couple of years ago, we installed gas to homes in Surrey by extending the gas heat network so that people could move away from using electric heaters. I think that was Meadowbrook Court. Stafford Borough is seen as one of the leading authorities in Staffordshire and the West Midlands in terms of delivering energy efficiency and heat saving measures. And I saw some data just the other day which just further underlined that in terms of activity this year. Just moving a bit more broadly, Mr. Mayor, as part of the Housing and Health Team's work, we secured £1.2 million of funding as part of the Social Housing Decarbonisation Fund, Round 2, to support work on making homes energy efficient, targeted energy efficiency, and targeted specific homes. In fact, the local plan, which is out for consultation at the moment, with the proposals from 2021 to 2040, include an ambition for all homes to be carbon neutral. And Stafford Borough is one of the first 10 authorities in England to insist on all homes being carbon neutral. Indeed, the proposals for the new garden settlement at least is looking
point
at.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. How many sheets does.
Which point of order is that about? To talk about energy efficiency. Are you interested in energy efficiency or not?
He's over 5 minutes.
God.
I hate to torpedo him, but he has been speaking for much longer than 5 minutes, Mr. Mayor.
You are not wrong.
If I may continue, Mr. Mayor, addressing the point that the Councillor made about eco-housing, if you look at the proposals as part of the Meastbrook settlement, it includes alternative heat sources and district heat networks. So I guess, Mr. Mayor, that my final point before I sum up is that it's about responsibility. Whose responsibility is it for every home to be heated in as wise a way as possible? Is it for homeowners, is it for social housing providers, or is it for the private rented sector? Mr. Mayor, in summary, can I just summarise and finish then?
8 minutes.
We've been doing this a long time, Mr. Mayor. The responsibility should be on individuals where they can afford to do so, and there is plenty of support for those who aren't. And the government, as part of the autumn statement, has just doubled the funding in energy efficiency.
Okay.
So I will be voting against this motion, Mr. Mayor.
I've got Councillor Kemp, Councillor Byron, Councillor Godfrey, and Councillor Butler. So Councillor Kemp first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's interesting that two councillors fail to tell me what's going on in my ward. I actually know what's going on. But for the benefit of the councillors who don't know, the housing association that took over Stafford Road are actually doing this work in Coton Fields. And I'm quite pleased they're doing it, because I do know that the concrete houses that Douglas Road West and other parts of that area are very bad broken down. For many years I've been going into people's houses, inviting into people's houses to see the damp patches. So we have a situation in there that those who have bought their houses, a lot of them are now elderly, they can't afford to do this work that's being done by them. housing association. So their houses still will suffer from damp. And they're not only those houses, but the older houses in the area still suffer from being cold. I'm lucky. I live in a house that was built in 75, and as the former housing officer told me, they don't need insulation, Jack. The insulation's already in there. And that was a contractor from the council of doing other houses for the council who offered me this insulation at a cheap rate. And of course I was pleased to tell him how far he may stick it. I'm right. I mean, one of the things on this is fossil fuel should be left in the ground. Well, having worked down there to get the fossil fuels out, I agree with it entirely. I agree entirely with all of this. And new homes and workplaces to build the highest possible energy efficient. Now, somebody was talking about Swinnerton the other day. And I'm trying to remember now. Yeah, the councillors for Swinnerton. They would tell you what the old housing association staff and rule. They put these pumps into the ground, made it very efficient. Now that's what it's talking about. And all you're asked to do is to say to the council, right, to the Prime Minister, well, we've got a good Prime Minister in at the moment, we think, one that will listen to us occasionally, and right to the Member of Parliament. Now, I don't know who the Member of Parliament is at the moment, having been told that when you write to him, you can forget it. You know, that's another problem that I think that side of the House should sort out. At least the previous Conservative Member of Parliament at least had the courtesy to say hello to you when he saw you, and also to shake my hand. And after the council first benefit, I always count up when you lot touch me. That's a lovely thing. Oh,
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much. Why I applaud the sentiment behind this election, I am concerned that it says quite to the Prime Minister of MPs asking for additional financial support. As I understood the last week's announcements, they're already giving additional support. A fully funded nationwide plan, how much is that going to cost the country as a whole? I know it's important, it's a very important issue, and it's something my house has got. I can't afford to do it, and I don't. But I'm not going out asking for a handout. But it's just, you know, we can't afford to keep spending money like this. The country as a whole can't afford to keep spending money like this. And it is important, I think, to each and every one of us to try and do our bit rather than go to national government for everything. Because everybody thinks national government should hand out money left, right, centre. I actually saw somebody being interviewed on the news and she said, "Look, we can't expect the government to give us anything. We've got to do things for ourselves, and there are people who can't afford to do things for themselves, I accept that. There are people who can't afford to do this, but there are warm homes available, schemes available." And I think that is probably an interest in this area. I think if I'm right, I think it's probably everywhere there is warm schemes going around where you can actually apply for funding. So I do appreciate what the motion says. I do appreciate, but I really don't see where the money's coming from to do this.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I read this motion, it's basically asking the executive of this council to write to the government and ask for these things nationally. Now, we have a really good history lesson from Councillor Clerks. I mean, it went on a bit, I have to say, and it's the second time tonight I've heard him go on a bit. but it did go on. It was a history lesson. In times when this council maybe had funds where we could help people who were in need, we're now looking, as we will be debating in the next few weeks, to £1.5 million gap in our budget. Now, how is this council going to help people when it can't even balance the budget itself? The funds will not be there. This motion is asking the government, as I understand it, it's on the right council base, asking the government to help people in need, therefore maybe giving local authorities some more money. Now, if you don't support this, you really do have to wonder what you believe in. Thank you very much.
Councillor Owen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Barron has just said everyone should do our bit. What is our bit? I'm concerned about the elderly, who don't know about warm accordance, who don't know about grants and benefits, who are too proud to go and ask. I see them every week at Age Concern in Stone, and I worry that they won't put their heating on this winter, and then we're going to be hitting all sorts of health problems. I worry about the so-called jams, just about managing. Those who are in full-time employment who are not entitled to any benefits. Their children, those with children, are going to school to keep warm, are going to school, and if they're lucky, getting a free school meal. And it's good that they're sitting there smiling about this. I don't think it's anything to smile about at all. I think this is an excellent motion. We should be asking the government for more help, because people are going to die. It says everyone has the right to a warm home that is affordable to heat. We are going to be missing large pockets of people who won't be able to afford their home. So therefore, I do support this motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Holmes, as you've already spoken, we've got
to Well, I'd just like to, I'm very pleased that in some areas has been retrofitted, it's brilliant. But I can tell you that in the ward where I live, there are very cold homes, and they're damp, and there's mould, and there's young children. And I've referred them to the Housing Association who are trying to deal with it. But it really shouldn't be happening, should it?
Thank you. Councillor Smith.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've cost a lot of my household, don't you? It's been 5 years, Mr. Mayor. If only it was so simple. The government has already allocated £6.6 billion to this project. As Councillor Barron says, the Chancellor put another £6 billion to it last week in his statement. I'm at a bit of a loss to understand the mindset of these two supporters of this motion, because taxation at the moment is its highest it's ever been since the Second World War. And they say they want a fully funded plan. Now, perhaps they'd like to tell us, and Councillor Pearce did tell us, that he would fund it by Council NHS too. Now, I would remind people that the catalyst for our station gateway was HS2. It's not probably reminded of it, but that was the catalyst which started. We want Stafford to be on the map. Furthermore, we've got Meastbrook, which is going to be a carbon neutral village. That will not be able to go forward unless there is a new station on the West Coast Main Line. And the West Coast Main Line will not have a new station until capacity is created, and it will be created by HS2 taking the load off it. So we will not be speaking if we don't have HS2. I wonder if the supporters have read the areas of fuel poverty in this public, because my ward suffers more than many. It's a rural ward with many 19th century houses. I live in. I managed to get my electricity units down from 4,100 to 2,200 over the years. I'm very angry. I can do jobs. It cost me £10,000. If one of my builders to do that, it would be £100,000 at least. One solution might be to allow people like me, who've got a big garden, to knock my house down and build a new one. Or build a new one and then knock it down. But you can't get planning permission for that. I witnessed a chap in Newport, Telford Drinking Council. He was building a second wall on the outside of his house, which was going to tie in and insulate the rest of the house. The job stopped for 3 years when he came up against the plans. You can't do things like that. It's very difficult to insulate old houses. I've done it, I've tried, and there are lots of pitfalls. Because if you dry line a solid wall, the water is still in the wall. You heat the room, it comes round the side. It is very difficult. I've got lots of technical stuff here, but we'll go in 5 minutes, Mr. Mayor. But keep pure in the ground. This council owns a steam locomotive based at Amerton Farm. Do we not want to mine a tiny bit of coal to put into that steam locomotive to keep it going so that the people of Stafford can see what the history of Stafford was? We don't need much, but we need some, so we can't write to the government to say, keep it all in the ground. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're told that people must do their bit because the government can't be dependent on handouts. Maybe Councillor Barron would like to tell a nurse standing in the queue in a food bank, do your bit. Maybe Councillor Barron would like to tell her constituents, because I'm not going to tell mine, I know you're working two jobs and still can't make ends meet, but still you must do your bit. Oh, and we mustn't expect handouts, especially from energy companies, where the shareholders and board members of energy companies are now millionaires, while poor people are sitting in the cold. And of course, the government, of course, doesn't have any money. But it found billions not long ago for my last point, Mr. Mayor.
My point of order was it wasn't me saying people have to do their bit. It was following an interview.
My last point, Mr. Mayor, we were told the government doesn't have enough money for handouts, whatever. Well, it wasn't that long ago this government had money for handouts for ministers' friends, for PPI contracts which amounted to billions wasted, and no effort was made to recoup the wasted money.
The most important things in our life are our children. The most important time of that child's life is its first 2 years. The most important bond for that child is with its mother when it's first born. And to say that you cannot get in touch with our MP because she's on maternity leave is downright disgraceful.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I start, I must at this point declare an interest. I'm aware of energy crops. Those energy crops are carbon neutral at best, but also, if anything, actually a lot of carbon. So I feel, in a way, able to speak on a subject like this. This report, this motion is put in front of us, we've had them before. It's very worrying, and I wonder sometimes where the information comes from for these reports. If you look on the web and elsewhere,
In 2020, the residential sector emitted 67.7 million tonnes of carbon dioxide. That's effectively 20.8%. Where did 23% come from? If you don't quote figures, make sure they're correct. And I won't go on too long, but I would agree with what Councillor Barron said, but not what's been said by Councillor Paradesi. The central government at the moment has got so much money to give away. It's our money, it's not their money. And we're actually sort of held to account, because that is our money that's out there that they're using. And there's only so far it can go. But if it's all spent on insulation for houses, which will cost billions for the UK, what are we going to do about the health service? What are we going to do about education? And what about social care? As other councils have said in this room and in this chamber, it's important that we look after everybody in every way possible. And I won't support this motion because it's too inward looking, and we've got to, if we want to discuss it, let's discuss the whole thing, not just the one small part of energy savings. Thank you.
Councillor McHugh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very short and sweet, but there's an old saying, isn't there? If you don't ask, you don't get. So I would suggest you do ask, and let's see what the question, what the answer is.
Councillor
Bain.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to start off by recognising that and accepting and suggesting that there is no one in this room that disagrees with principles that have been set out in terms of right to a home, improving energy efficiency, and so on. But the trouble with the motion is that it conflates or seeks to conflate a number of different things. It's not straightforward. And as has already been pointed out, a request for additional financial support set against the backdrop of the financial support that's already been provided in a number of different contexts is a non-starter. Let's just take one example of that, the furlough scheme. The furlough scheme has been recognised as it's been implemented in this country as one of the most far-reaching cross-nation pieces of assistance given. On the back of that, we've had, very sadly, a war in Ukraine. They're just two very simple examples, of course, the furlough scheme caused by COVID, of how global events have impacted severely on our financial capabilities. I just made a note of the emissions of carbon dioxide that are relevant in the context of the suggestion that we should keep fossil fuels in the ground. China emits 12,466 megatons of CO2. America emits 4,752 megatons. Russia, 1,943. India, 2,649. Later on this evening, we'll be hearing about the climate change and green recovery annual update. And we've already heard representations from Councillor Pert and Councillor Price about the efforts that this local authority is undertaking in relation to green energy, green efficiency, the provision of assistance to many, many households in the borough. And I'll say this, I'm not making a formal proposal to amend the motion, but why don't we write to China? Why don't we write to America? Why don't we write to Russia? Why don't we write to India? All of these countries would make a significant difference in terms of its impact on requiring fossil fuels and the difficulties caused by climate change, if those countries undertook even a part of the globally recognised steps that need to be taken. And there was just an interesting feature that I picked out. The European Union as a whole emits less than India. India emits about 1/6, or perhaps just a little bit more, 1/5 of China's carbon dioxide emissions. And so let's redirect our energies towards those places where it would make a huge difference. I note with interest that at the recent COP27 meeting, of course, President Putin didn't go. I don't think that the chairman of China met. The president of the United States did. As far as I can recall, the president of India didn't attend but sent a representative. And so I just go back to the central theme. Nobody disputes that people are entitled to warm homes. But I urge you to listen to what Councillor Pert said. The assistance that we as a local authority are providing. And however you seek to criticise Councillor Barron, she made a very good point. The financial assistance that's already been given to our communities from central government, whichever government was in power, would have probably done the same thing. It's huge, and we have to think of ways in which we can recover our financial burdens because of those huge impacts on our economies. So this motion it's just all over the place. It's not tight in what it seeks to do. It does not recognise some of those core issues that are either being dealt with locally already or seek to ask for assistance in a way that does not seem appropriate given the background that we've experienced in the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Godfrey. 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unlike my Conservative colleagues opposite, I should be brief. And I should say that two things. One, in response to what Councillor Patrick Fine has just said, the other council, stating lots of tonnages from all around the world, carbon dioxide in the air, emissions, etc., etc. So we should do nothing. Should we do nothing? Just because other countries are doing nothing, we should do nothing as well. That was the implication of it. And also, the other thing I will say is that Councillor Blacksmith was talking about old buildings, possibly impossible to insulate. Well, should we not? Should we just leave them alone so that people freeze to death? Mr. Mayor, this is a very, very good motion. Unfortunately, it will be beaten. There's no to miss that. But they voted down, and it was voted down probably at their group meeting. It's just such a shame. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Right. Councillor Pedersen, you've got 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With reference to what our leader has just said about India and China, he is seriously comparing us to a population which totals a third of humanity, and he's comparing our country to that. I've said to Councillor Farrington before, oh, maybe it would help if we stopped exporting our manufacturing jobs to India and China. That might help reduce their pollution. What was the other thing he said? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, he always gives us a list of
The motion is on energy efficiency. I'm struggling to understand how this is about.
Yeah, I struggle to understand what our leader said as well. Councillor Farrington is always giving us a list of countries
pollution record is far worse. He never gives us a list to compare of where the countries are better. No, my last point. Other countries are having an industrial revolution because they weren't allowed to previously have the
balance. Right, so I've got Councillor Pearson now.
I want to exercise the right to reply, so can I ask if there's any other speaker prior to this item?
Anybody else who wants to speak?
No, thank you, Mr.
Pearson.
Okay. So thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, the point was made that in terms of keeping fossil fuels on the ground, other countries have a much bigger carbon footprints and are much worse in that respect. But of course, there is some difficulty in arguing that they should be kept in the ground, and we've just given the green light for more companies to drill for oil in the North Sea. So that would have been a problem in terms of asking other countries to cut back on their emissions and, or rather, to keep fossil fuels in the ground. So, moving on then to the main issues that people have been raising, and there seem to be two primarily. One is that it's not recognising the excellent work that the council is already doing. Now, when I started, I pointed out that I recognise the work that the council is doing. I mentioned warmer homes, I mentioned the other work that's being done in insulating homes. There is some good work being done, and I don't dispute that at all. The question is, are we doing enough? It was mentioned that advice is being given to 1,000 homes a year, and there are 60,000 homes. Well, you know, I appreciate it's a very simplistic way of looking at it, but in that case, it would take 60 years to cover all the homes that need it. The other question about finance is what's going to happen next year. It's been pointed out we're facing a 2 million deficit. Yes, we're hoping to save money by merging the staff of the two, of Planet Chase and Stafford Councils, but that would only, as I understand it, save us.
Point to point, Mr. Mayor, that we are not merging any councils.
I said the staff of the councils. So that would only save, as I understand it, us 0.6 million, which is only 1.4 million in terms of savings, or plus, put it bluntly. So the question is whether all these good things are still going to be done next year and in the years to come. And the other question is, you know, are we being sufficiently funded by central government? If you think we are, then yes, by all means, vote this down. But if you don't, if you think that we should be getting more money to do this work, then we should be voting for this.
Yeah.
The other issue that's been raised is, well, where's the government going to find all this money? Well, earlier on, we were talking about companies and tax avoidance. That's a huge source of potential income that the government could be getting if they were to make more effort to recover that money. I mentioned HS2. Billions of pounds being spent on a project that may have some particular fringe benefit, but the central effect of which isn't going to bring the massive results that sort of investment should. And would be far better spent on helping people keep warm during the cold weather. Because not only does it have that effect on people in terms of the first effect, it'll have an effect on the health service. It'll have a financial effect in that sense. So it's something that we should be investing in.
1 minute, Councillor.
I'm coming to a conclusion now. So what I would ask you to do is to read this carefully. There is nothing there, I would suggest, that you can object to. And therefore, I would ask you to support it. Thank you.
Okay, so those in favour? Those against? So the motion is lost. Item 8, fees and charges and review for 2023.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report, I believe, has been to all scrutiny committees now, and is therefore here for formal adoption. As members will know, outside issues, outside the control of this council, have contributed to a major increase in inflation, which was running at 12.3% when this report was written. And the proposals are to increase most of our charges by 5%, rounding to the nearest sensible number, with the exception of the charges which are itemised in paragraph 5.4, which are to be frozen, namely car parking, taxi licences, ground bin and the market stalls. And in addition, there is a discount for electric or hybrid taxi licences. Set against the inflation rate, the proposal of an increase of less than half that rate is, I believe, Mr. Mayor, reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Quite exciting when it wasn't seconded then. Where are we going with that? Very briefly again, Mr. Mayor, as I always say at this time of year, this council depends far too much on fees and charges compared to other authorities around the country. And so any lessening of fees and charges obviously affects our budget and obviously will not help the £2 or £1.5 million black hole that we have. I did notice back on page 8 of the implications of the financial, it actually points out that any fees and charges that don't go up will contribute to the deficit that we have. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but probably the two largest incomes we get from fees and charges are parking and the brown bins. Now, they seem to have been frozen. This is fair enough, that's a decision you've made. Is there an election next year, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, is there?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I suppose then that Councillor Godfrey is suggesting that his party is going to control all the charges of brown bins and they're going to increase parking. Or alternatively, not withdraw the charges for brown bins and increase the fees and charges for brown bins, because that's an implication, to use his words from previous debate, from what he's saying. The fact is, Mr. Mayor, that we've had a debate this evening about helping our local communities. And this is part of seeking to produce a balanced budget, because obviously we will discuss that in greater depth on a different occasion. This is just about fees and charges. But both of those items that he has touched on do help our local businesses. They invite footfall into the town. They keep charges at a level which would help. And the statement that was made at the beginning by Councillor Godfrey, which is that our fees and charges are higher than in most of the areas, is just not true. And could I remind this council that in fact parking charges have remained broadly speaking at a similar or same level for many, many years, and indeed it was this administration that took a hit in relation to keeping parking charges at the same level, notwithstanding the increase in VAT. And so I just rise to make those points in response to Councillor Godfrey. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Farrington. Anybody else wishing to speak? Oh, sorry, Councillor Godfrey.
Councillor Loughran.
Yes, Councillor Loughran.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm very interested in the fact that this seems to be holding in on the way of the RX and keeping it, of course, as they are. We seem to be seeking more loss of publicity for that, and we're not being given any publicity for those figures we are increasing at the 5% that we mentioned. So that's all been ready for us. When I was on to the members' portal, I couldn't find the proposed fees and charges for next year, the full list of them. I couldn't find it. I'm assuming that the proposal is somewhere. I'm assuming that the fees and charges for the members' portal is the members' page, is it? Can somebody tell me? Is the members' portal a fancy name for the members' page? I couldn't find what the fees and charges for next year would be. And the only publicity we're being given is the fact that you're keeping all the charges, well, almost at 35%. They're all buried somewhere, so you're not telling anybody else you're raising the charges. You're talking about the increases being asked by increases because of energy costs. And I feel that you're just seeking all the publicity for those parking charges that you know, it's not, you could not hire them previously.
No, we haven't.
You need to charge for disabled parking on your waterfront in the car park. And I just feel that you're just hiring a lot of the charges and you could want people, even councils, to find them. Thank you, Mr.
Okay, Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just two things. One, I believe the last report we had on fees and charges nationally put Staffordshire Council in the top quartile of councils who take most of their funding from fees and charges. And I have to say, Mr. Mayor, the little statement I made at the end is there an election next year? Obviously there is. And it wouldn't be the first time the administration has actually used the finances of this council to try and curry favour with the electorate. I could remember not too long ago a 2% reduction in the council tax, which was obvious, was aimed at gaining votes. And I put to this council, I put some members opposite, that's exactly what this is. This is a blatant electioneering, and it's using the finances of this council and therefore reducing the services that the people of this borough can receive from this council. It is, people will see through it.
Councillor Farrington, you want to
respond? Thank you. I asked a question of Councillor Godfrey, and I know he's not responded. The implication from what he's saying is that he would increase parking charges and he would increase the rounding collection costs. That is a clear implication from what he has just said. That as far as the reduction in council tax is concerned, that's obviously now a historical matter, but it was made at a time when money was given back to all of our community, not just to one individual, but to all of our community. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I too looked on the members' page, and I do wish we'd get our terminology right. Is it a portal or is it a page? Can we agree a little bit on our terminology? It's going to get confusing otherwise. But I too looked at the members' page, because I was informed earlier that all the fees and charges would be on the members' page before the council meeting. So I had a look at it on Sunday, and I had a look at it yesterday. And it wasn't on the members' page. So could I have an assurance now, Mr. Mayor, that as from tomorrow, I won't say this evening, you know, people happen to have some rest, but as from the first thing tomorrow morning, it will be on the members' page and easily identifiable as it looks on the members' page. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Smith, would you like to respond to that?
Mr. Mayor, just the last word is the right reply.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak? Oh, right, okay. Councillor Kemp.
Yes. As my colleague said, it's an election next year, and that's why this council deliberately told the press we're not putting the charges on. But strangely enough, the income from car parking has risen. It's risen dramatically. It actually comes to my committee and it tells me what the variations are. And I do read it and I do understand. The wind is blowing. But the point about it is an election year. But to keep going back to this stupid, really ridiculous trick they played some years ago about reducing the council tax by 2%. And it really has come home to roost. Because I've got written down in my papers here, if the leader of the council would explain to me what will happen if we don't meet the standard of a budget. We are currently projecting a budget gap of 2 million. Well, other Conservative councils have done things like that. They've got gaps and now they're being taken over by the government. Is this the intention of the leader of the council, that we should be taken over? I mean, or are we going to merge with Cannon Chase? And don't tell me, I've been through a merger. I know what it is. I know what it is, and I can tell you now, you're not doing all this messing about with shared services just to place a hook in the sky. So we are definitely. I'm trying to think. For the benefit of those who don't know, I've been working hard for this council. I've been to a 2.5 training session this morning with other members from this council, and I have to say it was very interesting. In Cannock Chase council building, very modern. The only trouble is about 10 miles down the road. You can set up this new igloo or whatever you want, where you can put the senior officers and stuff halfway just on the edge of Cannock Chase. That's just gorgeous, isn't it? I can see it from my house actually, if you make it big enough for pie green. But the serious part about it is that you're waffling. About it, we know it's an election year. Yeah. And all I say, God help them after the election.
And here, I just put my hand up because the King of the Waffles asked a direct question of me. And you know, I know this isn't a coincidence. When we met the other day and I went to shake his hand, we had a private conversation and out of the chamber we. It gets on quite well, I'm sure. Anyway, I just want to ask the question which was put to me. What would happen if we don't close the gap? Well, as he well knows, there is a legal obligation to close the gap, and we and the officers of this authority are working very, very hard to ensure and present to you at the appropriate time the actions and other steps that are being taken to do that. And just finally, to answer the second part of the question, as Councillor Kent well knows, his colleagues can report to him as to what was said at Cabinet earlier about the current state of play in relation to shared services, and it will come to this Council Chamber for a full debate in due course.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Alan, Councillor Godfrey has mentioned about looking back in time in his last few sentences. I would like the opposition to look back in history before 2003. There's a lot being said about council tax tonight. Look back in history before 2003 and see how it rose under a Labour council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Crewe, is it you indicated you wanted to speak? Right, Councillor Godfrey, 2 minutes.
I'm being gagged.
Is there anybody else who wants to speak? No. Councillor Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to say much more because most of what we've been discussing in the last few minutes will be discussed when we talk about the budget. And then we will have an interesting discussion.
Oh, yes.
Because I will give you some education on why that 2% is what it's all about. And you will be educated. You will enjoy yourself like I educated you on last year. It was the council tax base. But you've been here 20 years and didn't know what it was. And you don't understand the budgeting process if you think that 2% will be available every year, because it won't. And we'll talk about that next time. And you talked about this council and its fees and charges. I've given you examples over the last 2 or 3 years about Labour-controlled councils, where Conservative councillors rare as hen's teeth, like Manchester City Council, Liverpool City Council, who make millions out of fees and charges. The question that Councillor Loughran asked about where the information is on Councillor Cookton as well, there's a member's page, but the information is on the Cabinet agenda. So if you looked on that Cabinet agenda when we did the fees and charges, it's all there. But am I right, Jim? That's where it is. So on the Cabinet agenda.
So it's hidden.
No, it's not hidden. You go on the Cabinet agenda. Mr. Mayor, the members tonight came to a meeting of the Cabinet.
Point of information, Mr. Mayor.
They came to a meeting of the Cabinet tonight. Surely they can know where the agenda is.
Point of information, Mr. Mayor. We were told that the fees and charges would be on the members' page. It was not said it will be under the Cabinet agenda. It's a deliberate attempt to hide these things.
Nonsense! Absolute rubbish!
No transparency.
Rubbish! I don't know where you were told or who told you, but I'm telling you it's on the agenda of the Cabinet report. They're all there.
But we weren't told that.
Well, I don't know who told you.
Hidden. It's a plot by the Conservative Party to stop us from seeing your figures.
Mr. Mayor, I do say to you, you should stand and they'll all sit down.
Right.
I did it 30 years ago, and a good friend of mine, Trevor Williams, we got sat down.
Point of order,
Mr. Mayor.
Going back to Councillor Smith, finish.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. You tell us that it's because of an election. We decided when we introduced the Brown Bin Charge that it would stay fixed for a number of years. That was decided at that time, and Councillor Price will tell you that. We increased car parks fairly recently. Now, if you increase car parks by 5%, that's 5p. Now, the machines don't like 5p, so you don't increase it every year because you've got to alter the machines for no reason. So, for technical reasons, you don't increase car parking by small amounts. And the reason about the disabled car parking charge, and I mean, Councillor Beattie's not here, that is also a technical reason to do with the operation of the waterfront car park. So those are the reasons for those three big increases. Mr. Mayor, I don't really want to say any more. I've said it before, it's a 5% increase, which is half the rate of inflation, less than half the rate of inflation, except for those which are proven. Thank you.
Thank you. Those in favour? Those against? Right, okay. Item 9, Treasury Management, meeting in the year before. Is that the Council's thing again?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chairman. What's the name of my video?
Has everybody got a coffee?
No.
Extra page you've been handing around, this whole report was discussed in Audit and Accounts last week, and it was quite obvious that a number of the investments had maturity dates very close or thereabouts, and since then those investments that have matured have been reinvested at higher interest rates, and the new list shows that. You can see some of them are only monthly investments anyway, so it's going to change regularly. So that's what that page is, isn't it? I don't want to say too much about this because this is just an interim report. We discussed this, the original report in February this year, and the only real change that has been to the Treasury Management is the motion we passed 2 or 3 meetings ago, I think, to increase the amount that we can put in the money market funds from 6 million to 9 million. That's the only change that has been to the strategy since February. Treasury management is all about how we fund our capital programme, our level of borrowing and how we account for it, and our level of investments and the criteria we use to invest. And as yet, we have not needed to borrow. And with interest rates increasing, we will resist borrowing even more. So, on the other side of the coin, excuse the pun, interest rates on our deposits are bringing in additional income, which will no doubt be discussed when we discuss the budget. And I did say in February that if there was a valid business case, borrowing may be organised. And to answer any questions you may have on the table in 5.10, which shows a borrowing need, this is down to a possible need to borrow to support the future high streams fund. And this, of course, has been kept on the review, and in any event, as you can see, the figure is well within our permissible limits. As I say, you've got the investment list, which has now been updated, and appendices 2 and 3 are the reports from our consultants containing their views on the economy as they were in February. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is that seconded?
Yes. Second, Mr. Mayor, I see.
Right. Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, it's to do with the sheet we've just been given, which is now updated Appendix 1. Which we have four. Just one or two questions. Al Rayan Bank PLC. Now that's a Muslim bank, and it's important to note that because they don't deal with rates of interest. They calculate things in a different way. It's not a rate of interest. It's quite a complex sort of thing, and it's actually not as rigid, possibly, shall we say, as a rate of interest might be. If, you know, look it up in the FP, look at their database, you'll see Al Ryan Bank is there. It's one of their best buys, actually, but they do say you can't, don't take the rate of interest, it's calculated in a slightly different way. And I think perhaps, you know, that ought to be reflected. It's not a rate of interest. It's against the religion to have a rate to lend out at a rate of interest. And the same might go, I don't know, the National Bank of Kuwait. I haven't seen that in the FP, but that may be a similar thing, but it's a Muslim bank. That's not to say they're not worth investing in, but don't let's talk about a rate of interest. Now, they have to have some sort of confirmation of that from the officers. I don't think there are any finance officers around there, are there? Well, the other one is at the bottom of this sheet, Santander, UK. It's called 180. In other words, it's a 180 days notice account. So it's somewhat less liquid than some of the other ones, you know, money instant notice. It's 180 days. And I notice the interest rate on that is 1.21. And we've got 6 million in there. Now, you'll notice, if you look up above those, you've got some money market funds, instant access, which are offering higher interest rates than 1.21, which is a relatively illiquid fund. I'm just wondering why the officers chose to dispose of the money in that way, or you know, put the money around in that way. And I'd welcome an answer from them, but as no one's here, perhaps they could do me something in writing or whatever. Yes.
So, members would be happy if a report was to Councillor Cook's question is sent to all members.
Yeah. Yes, I've no problem with that, Mr. Mayor. I mean, I could suggest a meeting because we put 6 million in these various ones and we wouldn't have put in even more than normal. But it's got 180 days and then that's half a year, so I don't know when this money was put in. But yeah, it's a fair question.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. So we'll get clarification.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, we only take any questions or comments on Appendix 1 at the moment. My question was for Appendix 2, page
22.
Okay. Can I just quickly make a point on page 23, please, Mr. Mayor? Just very quickly, every worker has the right to demand and expect a decent and fair wage with which to lead a dignified life. And on page 23, the last, not the last bullet point, the one before, it states that wage growth is contributing to inflation. And I'd just like to say, Mr. Mayor, remind everyone, to this day there is no evidence to prove that rises in wages causes rises in inflation.
Okay,
really?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Mr. Mayor, I go back to this new Appendix 1 being given. Is the Chief Executive, does he feel in actual fact we can trust these banks? Because I do remember a certain day some years ago when it appeared on television a certain bank had gone bust and council, various councils had got their money invested in it. So I do feel, you know, that, I mean, some of these banks with very strange names, and my friend has pointed out the fact that one of them really doesn't give interest. And I do feel, you know, that we ought to be very careful with where we do put our money. The money that comes, of course, from car parking charges.
Yeah. You do bring it down to the right level.
Right,
okay.
So, Councillor Smith, would you like to respond?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, you referred to the Icelandic bank, weren't you, Councillor Kennedy?
Is there anybody else who wants to speak before? No. It is our word.
Okay. Well, as I said before, the appendices are written by our consultants. So, the issue that Councillor Fardating talked about That is their opinion, and I did see Councillor Cook looking rather perplexed when she said what she said, as though he wasn't quite an agreement. But if that's what the consultants say, I'm not going to argue with Mr. Mayor. So there we go. There's nothing else, Mr. Mayor. It's an updated report, a February report, and as I said, the only thing to report that's changed is the agreement that we had mid-year to increase the amount from 6 million to 9 million in these low-risk banks.
Right. Those in favour? Those against?
Can you put it on the level?
Okay. So the motion's carried. Right. Okay. Item 10. Councillor Price.
Very much, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to be suitably warmed up, so this document talks about the work that we've undergone in the past 12 months, and also has an appendix where it talks about things around climate change and green recovery that are within our delivery plan going forward from this year. I'd just like to say as well, the work that you see within here reaffirms this council's commitment climate change and the green agenda. So the document itself is to provide an update on the activities that have been undertaken by the council in relation to climate change and green recovery. So it was agreed that a progress report was submitted to full council to outline the activities that have been taking place to deliver against the council's climate change objectives. The full report is contained in section 5, and I shall draw some of those items out. And it details the work that has been undertaken by officers for each of the climate change and green recovery objectives. This council has recognised that it is an important role in responding to the threat of climate change, and in response to this, formulated a climate and green recovery strategy that was approved at the 2020. This strategy outlined what the commitments would be over the next 20 years, with a focus upon climate change commitment. And the leaders of this council reaffirmed his commitment to climate change earlier this year when he implemented the new cabinet position of the sole responsibility for climate change. We've been reducing emissions from our own activities. Members will recall that a carbon audit was commissioned last year to audit the carbon balance of our council activities. We've been working in partnership. This is quite a broad area of work for the council, as it recognises that we cannot achieve the carbon reductions on our own. It is everybody's responsibility to do what they can to protect our planet. The council is now a member of the Statutory Sustainability Board, set up the latter part of 2021, and the board comprises of representatives from each council within stature with a sustainability or climate change portfolio, and does include support from council officers, directors, and additional council staff panels as and when required. And staff borough's representatives are both myself and the excellent Dr. Tracy Redpath. We have a local area energy plan, and you can read more about that in the document. We have a community panel, and we've set up a community panel earlier this year, which now consists of 15 members who are passionate about climate change and the green recovery for staff borough. And we, of course, have been doing some benchmarking. So out of 21 local authorities out of 32 responded to this request. Stafford Borough Council was ranked 9th overall, indicating improvements made in social equality and health, sustainable energy use, resource efficiency, carbon reduction, leadership and governance, and adapting to climate change. And this exercise has just been undertaken once again, and we are anticipating the results, which will be out very shortly. And as I said at the beginning, the forward plan, or green recovery delivery plan, is also in the appendix in the back of the document. As the paper states, this detailed report is for noting. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hollis, I think it was. Oh, is that seconded? Sorry. Is that seconded, yeah.
Second in reserve, Brian Steele.
Thank you. Councillor Hobbs.
I've said before repeatedly that if your goal for carbon neutrality is still 2040 and not 2030 as we've suggested and other councils have said, then we can't take this seriously. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Particularly on point 6.1, given the financial implications associated with being able to achieve climate change, can the council please tell us what alternative methods of finance the council is seeking to support this work? Otherwise, it just becomes a talking shop. Thank you.
Would you like to respond to that? Okay, Councillor Pearce then.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To welcome a number of the things that talked about in this report, particularly the feasibility study on viability of installing renewable energy infrastructure on council assets and the switch to renewable energy tariff for the electricity that council is using. Also, the local area energy planning sounds a very interesting development. The community panel, I agree, is an excellent introduction. I think it would be helpful if more information was provided on the discussions that are held there. I happen to know that there are some people involved, but I think it would be helpful to Council as a whole. We have more feedback from that panel. Just 2 points I would like to make. First of all, on finance. Some time ago, I put forward a motion which talked about the lack of any budget provision within the council for this work. And it was referred immediately to the cabinet on the basis that it had financial implications and therefore the cabinet needed to discuss it. As far as I'm aware, this hasn't yet been discussed. I hope it will be considered when the budget is drawn up for this coming year. But I'm disappointed that we don't appear to have had any feedback on that issue. I'm also really attention to the final page 33, paragraph 6.1, where it talks about the full financial implications of the council not being known. I think it's important that we do try and establish what those costs are. And try and find the funds that are needed to do it. I think we are in difficulty because I don't think central government is getting sufficient funding to local authorities generally to tackle climate change. And again, I think we should be asking central government for additional funding. And finally, the target for zero carbon is 2040. But like the government, I think we should be talking about interim targets. So what we would hope to achieve by 2025, by 2030, and by 2035. How far do we think we should be getting in achieving that target by those dates? I think that would be helpful in measuring whether or not we're making sufficient progress. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Godfrey.
Mr. Mayor, I was going to say exactly the same thing. I think we need very solid milestones and work to them. One thing I'd just like to say is that it's obvious that the officers work very, very hard on this, and we have some excellent officers sat in the council working hard. And it's a shame that the present administration don't support them as well as it should do.
Pardon?
Mr. Mayor, how can you make a statement like that and expect anybody to believe a word that is uttered? There is no evidence, no suggestion at all, of no support. It's a complete political nonsense. And we heard earlier on from the King of Waffles about suggesting that there is waffling on this side. I've never heard some claptrap as has just been spouted from Councillor Godfrey as we don't support the officers. And I object in the strongest possible terms, and I am sure that the rest of, certainly my side of the chamber do, and I would hope that others do, in suggesting for one moment that there is any lack of support to officers. And that remark should be withdrawn now.
Can we stick to the report? Councillor Hawkes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All I will say is that there should be more political will to go for 2030 rather than this administration's target of 2040.
Councillor Hawkes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Gosh, this is exciting. It's like a game of tennis. Page 32, 5.11. We've already spoken about families who are going to be extremely financially challenged. And here it is, actually in black and white, about families are already having to take difficult decisions to either keep their home or feed their families. And it's funny how year after year after year it's dragged up about 2% and how it's an election ploy. And I remember the Aldi loaf of bread that was mentioned, which at that point was 57 pence. I can assure you it's three times that cost now. But what I'm worried about here in this report, and it's an excellent report and I do support it, is that it says that the council's been allocated a limited amount of funding to proactively target private rented accommodation to improve energy efficiency. What concerns me, Mr. Mayor, is that I have recently been involved with a private landlord who I thought was bending over backwards to make the home for a resident energy efficient and everything that goes with it. And then, hey presto, he increased the rent. So I just hope that we can keep an eye on these private landlords and that they are honourable and accept the funding and don't increase their rent. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to respond in terms of the private rented sector. I'm sure the Councillor saw that there was a minimum energy standard in the private rented sector which went through Cabinet last week, which fixed part of the fees and charges and part of the work that is being undertaken with within the private rented sector, certainly to drive up standards. And as I said at the time, our aim and ambition is to work with landlords to drive up standards, particularly during the cost of living crisis, and if they choose not to want to work with us, then we'll use a penalty charging mechanism. If she has any further questions on an individual case, it's more than happy to take those separately. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak? No? Councillor Brass.
Yeah, thank you. I'll try and capture some of those questions and answer them to the best of my ability. So, around finance, officers and I are currently working in several work streams that we need to do going forward. We're currently doing the work to ascertain how much money will be required to do those particular areas. So it's not that we haven't allocated funds, we need to make sure that we understand what we need for the areas of work that we're trying to move forward with. I think Councillor Pearce's community panel and the comments about feedback coming from that, I think actually I agree. And that's something that we need to look at, because I think that's important. That also helps reinforce a tremendous, so they can see the work we're actually doing. You talk about the 2030 timelines around climate change. Labour administration not too far from here declared 2030 shortly before the council was lost to the Conservative Party, who then realised that the aims and achievements have been put forward were totally unrealistic and couldn't be delivered. If I was sitting here to say 2032 here, it would be a lie. We will not achieve everything we were required to do and to make that change in a short period of time. However, that does not mean we are not moving forward. Who knows, we may actually get a lot of this done by 2030 or shortly afterwards. But I am sticking to the 2040 date, as is our administration, because we are trying to be realistic and honest and open
You talk about dates as well when it comes to the climate change and green recovery plan. I did mention it was an appendix in fact, and it has all the dates for everything in there, including the delivery dates. So you are getting reported updated dates on that moment. So I think that's it. Can you come to me?
All in favour? Anybody against?
Yeah. Will you be able to sort out?